I want to introduce our speaker today. I don't get to hear my colleagues preach because I'm usually gone, but this Sunday I am here. I knew Greg when he was my unbelieving farmer friend who lived next door, and it is marvelous to see the grace of God at work. And now to sit with him and you know, when we talk about shepherding this flock as being a team effort, I'm not just blowing wind your way. It is a team effort. I don't know where I would be without this brother and his wisdom and what God has taught him. And so I'm looking forward to hearing Greg preach today, and I hope you are too. So Greg, come and share the word of God.
Ditto back to you, brother. Would have you turn to Ephesians 4. Let's bow in prayer before we go into the word. Our Lord, our God, it's good to be in your house. It's good to be reminded of the gospel and the working you have in all our lives. As we contemplate this unity that Paul calls us to, Father, let us be reminded of one another in a way that glorifies you. None of us were of noble character. We're just thankful for your plan and praise you for your kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We ask your wisdom for the speaker through your word, Father, and that your word would do its work. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, Tim. Whew. Yeah. If we can all think back in our lives, what the body of Christ means to us. Paul gets to a point in this letter, we mustn't forget what he's already brought forth before us. The supremacy of Christ, the pleasing will of his Father to send his Son, the working of his Spirit, our state, where we were, the seal of the Spirit, this guaranteed our inheritance. And again, he wraps it in prayer and gives us these glimpses of his love towards the church, which should reflect to us where our joy is and what satisfies us. Not only the salvation, but the perfect working of God in Christ Jesus. It's like a constant parade in our thinking that reminds us as we go through books on gospels and living this gospel life, it's a constant rhythm in our life, bringing us back to a place of remembrance and always moving forward. Not yet achieved it, but looking forward. He said we were dead in our sin. We were unable. And we get into this chapter here. And he reminds us where he's at again and what he's called us to do. Chapter 4 in Ephesians. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. Also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the statures of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carrying about of each wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint and which is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I almost had my tongue stick to the top of my mouth. I've never had that happen. I'm getting older. Okay, Paul, again, reminds him of where he's at. He's a great example of one who is confident in Christ and the work he's doing in prison, writing a work, you know, just as he did in Philippians and Colossians. He's locked up for the gospel's sake, but he urges them. He urges them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. There's three things I would like to get through today. One is who we are. Our identity is found in our unity. We've been bought out of this life that is self-centered. Oh yeah, we didn't think that sin had its effect on others. We did our own things. We were secret in our thinking. We maybe lied through things or from one thing to another. There's a multitude of sins, but this working out in a body, God's calling us to be conformed and walk in a manner worthy of this calling with humility and gentleness. So it's a process. I was thinking about this chart we have on repentance, and when you're first saved, I mean, you're arrived. And you know, you see some sin and then you go some 40 years later, or 30 years, or 20 years, and you're like, have I made any progress? I still see my sin. I see more of it than when I was first saved. And it's a humbling thing. And this is the work of the gospel here. He says, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Reflect. How has God dealt with me? Has he been gentle and patient and bearing? And as we learn this in a group setting, one another, as sin issues come up, it's always the gospel call that brings us to this place in this state of humility. When we see the perfect reconciliation of the Son of God binding us to the Father, it should always humble us. It should always humble us. The Spirit's work is revealing Jesus Christ and transforming us into his likeness. And this identity we have with one another, that's what he's driving to the people of God here. Humility seeks God's will. Our old self, our old prideful self, and our pride that we fight within us fights against that. When disputes and matters come up, we've got to guard our heart. And where is this Where am I? Why am I bickering? Why am I not humble? Sometimes it is better not to prove a point and show humility and gentleness and patience. Our identity with one another as we work these things out. He says, be eager to maintain this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Again, that reminder, who is our peace? Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who cut, break down, you know, he's talked in chapter 3 about this covenant being, now it's one. There was a barrier between the Jews and Gentiles. Christ now brings it into one. And now we all are in the same vine, as he says in John 15, the same vine. And he goes on here, he says, we are one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The triune God is expressing in the body. He shows us unity. He's already expressed this in the first chapter. Let me just remind you these things. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace in which he blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance as being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things out to the counsel of his will, so that we were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also heard in the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation and believed in him and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee of his inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And I should have started with chapter, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we see here in this text is the Godhead working to one set purpose. And God would so desire us to work that one set purpose in our identity, how should we act? He says, walk worthy. That's the gospel. There's no way I can walk as a person of Christ without not walking properly, being above reproach. And we'll get on it later, but when the leadership is living away, we have to set a pattern, a dawning pattern that we never can accomplish. And I can't proclaim the word of God to you and go, hey, I got it all right. I've got to be transparent to you in that it's a battle. We fight with all our might, but the Spirit that is right there with us and counsels us and guides us makes us assured of that calling. He assures us of these things that bind us together. Christ himself stands on behalf, and we look to the Father with true confidence and peace. Father, I don't know how I'm going to work this out, but I want to do one thing. By faith, I live this out to the glory of your name. When disputes come and indifferences come, what's more important to me, my opinion or having this humility that says, I want to honor Christ. I want the Father to be honored. I want to live in such a way that when he returns, his praise and honor will be resounded, because we don't always get his praises on this earth, do we? As we live out Christ's endeavors in our workplace, in our families, it's a silent, secret walking with God. And we come to this middle section, which sounds, I've looked at a lot of commentaries, but when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He ascended to show that he also descended. That when he ascended, his work was complete. It was complete to do the Father's will. That the church, it will be established. That we live off the coattails of the apostles and prophets. That every generation learn from one another. Just as I learned from my brother Tim, and he learned from another, we learn from another. And the importance and the significance of our calling is so preeminent in our life. Be what you're called to. It's the secret, simple things. The workings of the church. You know, I often remind you of these things because it's not all the big things. It's coming alongside another brother and sister in Christ and go, how are you doing? It's seeing somebody in the hospital and you're almost speechless because they're not in a good place. But you're living this faith out. You're assuring them with confidence that you're assuring them that we're steadfast, we're one, we're united in this. This working, too often, and our inadequacies, God is adequate. As he reminds them in John that he's not left them as orphans. We must act as we've been called. When Christ descended, he walked in such a way that showed us how to walk. Not only was he fulfilling the law perfectly, but we can read the Gospels and go, wow, he didn't tell that rich man, you're going to hell the way you're living, did he? He says, just give up these things. We can say that in our own lives. What if God took all things away? What would be the preeminent thing that would be so crucial to us? As I reflected on this, a lot of time me and my wife will be talking, what would life be without our church? With one another. We need one another. We need one another. This is what he's saying here. This building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith. It's something that's perfect unity is not yet there yet. Okay? Sin's still present. It's still working out. We've got to keep this in mind because we don't want need be surprised. And why'd they act that way? We shouldn't be surprised that sin's in our midst. Why are we shocked? We know we're being transformed anew every day. And that gospel promise that your mercies are new every morning keeps us faithfully walking ahead. But why does it shock us so much? We are going to that day when the great consummation, where we will be the bride of Christ. And right now we're preparing. Okay, young ladies that have been married, you remember when you're getting ready for, raise your hand if you remember what that's like. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? Chrissy, you're laughing. I remember. It's preparation. Be what you've been called to. Work on this unity. How, you know, I was reminded last night as I've been studying this text, and Lord, have I been on my knees begging you for wisdom? Have I called out to you? Are we praying for the saints as we ought? This conformity and unity, there's so many facets. There's our personal life, our business life. There's our family life. There, we're making disciples there and here, and we're trying to do it. But prayer is the thing that binds it all together, because it shows our love towards our Lord and our God, and our faith. Our faith is flourished by this. The purpose that we become mature, not tossed fro from wave and carried about in every wind of doctrine. People of God, there is so much garbage out there. Be wise what you listen to. There's so much that's called Christian is, it's the angel Satan masquerading as the angel of light. I warn you now, just be careful. Look at the scriptures and study. Christ must be supremely exalted. Christ in him. It's this beautiful, Paul did in Colossians, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth and heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. All things are bound in him. He ends up in this last part. You know, this is what's going to, these wind of doctrine that are false by human cunningness and craftiness of deceitful schemes. No, rather speaking truth in love, we grow up in every way in him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I'm reminded of Christ speaking as him being the true vine and us the branches. The Father prunes. Some don't get there and it hurts, but it's for our good at times. We need to be so joined together that when something happens with one another, it affects us in a way to bring us to a place of calling out to God, and Lord, my God, bring your glory to your church. This group of people here in Leroux, this little town, which they see our unity and our love towards one another. And Paul's again saying, keep doing it. Keep pushing farther. There's patterns when we aren't united, or we're going through something and we single ourselves away. And that's not where the Lord wants us. He wants us to be doing the things he's called us to do. All the different things. There's so many facets to the working of God, from people setting up videos to cleaning the toilets to sweeping the floors. This just doesn't happen, people of God. If you want to know your gift, just get involved. That's the burden for us as shepherds, is we want you to feel that, not feelings. You know what I'm saying. I know I'm his. I know I'm his. And remember one thing that's always in the call of God is working and evangelizing. He's always calling a people in our community, in our workplace, wherever we're at. And making disciples. You want to do something in the church? Just reach out to somebody. Say, you know what? I'll be a prayer partner. You want me to be praying for you? And really do it with this sincere faith and know that God's called you with a heavy heart. That broken and contrite heart is always apparent as we walk along. Pride is our enemy. Pride breaks down any working of unity. Humility, first, we see our Lord. This union in Christ, as we've been contemplating in our men's study, is so significant. We are bound in Him. Those He's purchased, He will see you through. What the importance, you're all important. If you're a member of Christ in this church, member of Christ, member of this body of Christ, you're significant. You're significant. We care for you. And more importantly, our Lord died for you. Complete in Thee, aren't we? Justified. Someday we'll be glorified. See, in the midst of all this working out, I like how one writer says, waiting for His coming means waiting for the glorious coming manifestation of the unity of the body. While we seek here to maintain that unity with humility and love, those who love most are most ready for His coming. Love to each other is the life and beauty of His bride, the church. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Edwards because he's so poetic in his writings, but he calls us in the church, he says, Christians who shine by reflecting the light of the Sun of Righteousness, shine with the same sort of brightness, the same mild, sweet, and pleasant beams. These lamps of the spiritual temple, enkindled by the fire from heaven, burnt with the same sort of flame, the branches of the same nature as with the stalk and the root, has the same sap and bears the same sort of fruit. The members have the same kind of life with the head. It would be strange if Christians should not be of the same temper and spirit with that of Christ. We should be the same as our Lord. Be holy, for Thine is holy. Work this unity out. Pray for unity. Pray for one another. And we'll be what Christ has called us to be, His beautiful bride that awaits Him. Let's pray. Our Lord, my God, we wait, and yet we labor. We sorrow, we cry, we laugh. We walk alongside one another, and we find great comfort in the saints. Yes, that's what we are. We are saints in You. Father, build us into a body that seeks to glorify Your name, seeks to live up to this calling, and we will praise You forevermore in Christ's name.